This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. Good morning, I'm John Trout. It's Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Here's what's coming up on America in the Morning.
Columbia University surrounded by barricades and police with a small group of protesters outside. Inside, very different. I'm Julie Walker.
The Supreme Court hears arguments on whether doctors in Idaho should be compelled to perform an abortion if the health of the mother is in question. I'm John Stolness in Washington.
The U.S. High Court to take up presidential immunity. I'm Clayton Neville.
President Biden says badly needed military aid will soon start flowing to Ukraine. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
On Wall Street, stocks were modestly mixed yesterday, but Facebook parent Meta shares tanked after hours last night. I'm Jessica Ettinger.
Arizona is one step closer to repealing its near-total abortion ban. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Plus, the latest on the outbreak of bird flu. All ahead on America in the Morning. Chaos on college campuses as encampments of pro-Palestinian students have turned to violence in an effort to make their voices heard at New York University, Columbia University, at Yale, USC, and the University of Texas. As correspondent Julie Walker reports, protests around the nation are leading to calls to have the demonstrators removed.
As Israel tries to defend itself against genocidal terrorists who hide behind civilians, yet it is Israel that is falsely accused of genocide, Israel that is falsely accused of starvation and all sundry war crimes. It's all one big libel. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. It's unconscionable. It has to be stopped. It has to be condemned and condemned unequivocally.
Columbia University surrounded by barricades and police with a small group of protesters outside. Inside, very different.
I think that it's been posing a disruption to a lot of campus life, and I'm sort of on board with maybe putting it to rest at this point.
Columbia's encampment has about 60 tents now. Students have been out here since last Wednesday, mostly peaceful. Professor Farah Jasmine Griffin has been supporting them.
I really don't want to see police and National Guard brought in. That's the danger. I don't want to see them harmed. I want to see them engaged. And some of my students are in here. I care deeply about them. They're brilliant young people, but they're young people who are just trying to make this world a better place.
Columbia is giving this encampment until Friday to leave and complains about non-students on campus. Ari came from another college on Friday to join the protest.
Columbia University sets a precedent for many universities across the country and across the globe. And the more successful we are here, the more successful we open the gates for other students. And so that's why I traveled to be here, is to stand in solidarity with the students at Columbia.
She says as a Jewish student, she felt compelled to support them. At Columbia, I'm Julie Walker.
The Supreme Court heard arguments about an Idaho law that the state says supersedes a federal statute that emergency room doctors can perform an abortion if the life and health of the mother is jeopardized. John Stolness has details from Washington.
It's the first case challenging a state abortion law enacted following the High Court's Dobbs decision 2 years ago. Here, Idaho attorney Joshua Turner explains why their law should take precedence over the federal statute known as EMTALA.
If ER doctors can perform whatever treatment they determine is appropriate, then doctors can ignore not only state abortion laws, but also state regulations on opioid use and informed consent requirements.
Idaho bans all abortions in the state except for very limited exceptions, even medical emergencies, except if the mother's life is in danger. U.S. Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar argues under Idaho's law, doctors and women in Idaho are faced with an impossible decision.
If a woman comes to an emergency room facing a grave threat to her health, but she isn't yet facing death, doctors either have to delay treatment and allow her condition to materially deteriorate, or they're airlifting her out of the state so she can get the emergency care that she needs.
Most of the justices appeared skeptical of Idaho's claims, including Trump nominee Amy Coney Barrett, who backed up Justice Sonia Sotomayor when it appeared Turner hedged on whether women in an emergency should be able to receive an abortion to save her reproductive organs.
When Idaho law changed to make the issue whether she's going to die or not, or whether she's going to have a serious medical condition, there's a big daylight by your standards, correct?
It is very case by case. The examples
that's
from...
The problem. Well, I'm kind of shocked, actually, because I thought your own expert had said below that these kinds of cases were covered. And you're now saying they're not?
However, Justice Samuel Alito pressed Prelogar on the federal statute's recognition of the fetus as an unborn child.
What you're asking us to do is to construe this statute that was enacted back during the Reagan administration and signed by President Reagan to mean that there's an obligation under certain circumstances to perform an abortion, even if doing that is a violation of state law.
John Stolness, Washington.
Supreme Court mulls the idea of presidential immunity when America in the Morning continues after these messages.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Thanks for listening. This is America in the Morning. AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton is focused on a couple weather systems, mainly in the West, beginning to take shape.
The West enters a period of more active weather over the coming days, with two distinct disturbances bringing precipitation to the region. For the Intermountain West, a storm that brought a few showers to some of the high terrain of California yesterday is expected to lead to the risk for thundershowers from Nevada and Utah into southern Idaho and Montana today. In the Pacific Northwest, a cold front blasting onshore will mean zones of steadier rain along the coasts of Washington, Oregon, and far northern California, with more sporadic shower activity extending inland through the day on Friday before the next storm approaches. By contrast, much of the southeast should experience dry conditions today, as temperatures reach the 70s in many spots, with 80s closer to the Gulf Coast, up to the mid-80s for some locations in the Florida Peninsula. Much of the eastern United States also faces a mostly sunny Thursday under potent high pressure that should keep clouds limited for many places during the day. However, the same high pressure allowed for clear skies in a number of places that is expected to create a downright cold start to the day behind a cold front that pushed off the East Coast, with a risk for frost reaching from parts of Minnesota across the Great Lakes and even through most of the Northeast, with areas of frost possible in cities such as Columbus, Ohio, Indianapolis, and Milwaukee to start. By contrast, severe thunderstorms are expected from the central and southern plains into parts of the Midwest starting later this afternoon, with large hail, damaging winds, and some tornadoes possible within a region as a multi-day severe weather event gets underway. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, watch for showers and a heavy thunderstorm today as the high reaches 76. Look for some sunshine in Buffalo, New York, with a high of just 52 degrees today. That's the nation's weather. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
I'm John Trout. Remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments today regarding presidential immunity. Correspondent Clayton Neville has a preview.
The case surrounds the investigation by special counsel Jack Smith into alleged efforts by former President Donald Trump to overturn the results of the 2020 election that Trump lost to President Biden. If the high court rules in favor of Trump, Smith's case won't go to trial, and it could set precedent in other legal cases Trump's tied up in. But if the court rules against Trump, the case would likely go to trial as quick as possible.
Without presidential immunity, you have nothing. You don't have a president. You have just a ceremonial position, and we can't have that.
Trump, the Republican frontrunner in this November's presidential election, is insisting that a president has to be powerful and make good decisions.
But if you don't have presidential immunity, if you don't have a strong form of immunity, You're not going to have anything. You're not going to have a president that can function.
The basis of Trump's argument is that he's immune from federal prosecution surrounding anything during his presidential term. It's an issue the high court hasn't taken up before. I'm Clayton Neville.
After the Senate, with strong bipartisan support, signed off, President Biden has put his signature on a $95 billion aid bill for Ukraine, Israel, and other security needs, and vowed that the much-needed military supplies will be delivered to Kyiv without delay. Washington correspondent Sagar Magani has a look.
It marks the end of a long, painful fight with Republicans.
Now we need to move fast. And we are.
The Pentagon will start sending $1 billion in aid to Ukraine. Everything from air defense systems to artillery rounds to armored vehicles.
I'm making sure the shipments start right away for air defense munitions, for artillery, for rocket systems and armored vehicles.
The package also includes military aid to Israel and a big boost in humanitarian help for Gaza.
And Israel must make sure all this aid reaches the Palestinians in Gaza without delay.
Sagar Magani at the White House.
Meta benefits from TikTok ban. That and more part of Thursday business when America in the Morning returns after these messages. Welcome back. Here with America in the Morning. The Business Report is sponsored by Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, always putting clients' interests first. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Here's CNBC's Jessica Ettinger.
Wall Street opens this morning after a modestly mixed day yesterday, but boy, last night investors were disappointed with Facebook parent Meta. Its shares fell after the closing bell on a disappointing revenue outlook. One thing investors say would help Meta: it would be a big winner if TikTok goes away.
We have an example already in the public domain. TikTok was banned in India, and platforms like Meta's platforms, YouTube within Alphabet, Snapchat, all benefited when TikTok was banned in India. This could all play out in the U.S. if this was played out to its end state.
Goldman Sachs' Eric Sheridan on CNBC. Ford reported better than expected quarterly results after the closing bell last night. Its EV business lost money, but its commercial unit did well and offset issues elsewhere in the companies. Shares were higher last night in after-hours trading. Chipotle had a great quarter. Shares were up after hours. It's planning to open as many as 300 new restaurants this year. Tesla shares were higher yesterday, even with disappointing quarterly results. The company says now it will build a more affordable EV next year. But some investors say Tesla's not really going to make much money on building something like that.
We already know they're tracking behind on battery costs, at least internally, the 4680 batteries. So if this is a $30,000-ish vehicle, it's much less meaningful to the long-term bull thesis that people are willing to underwrite.
Guggenheim's Ron Jusicow on CNBC.
We've taken a look this week at TikTok. What do you think their next move will be?
The Chinese-owned video app plans to fight. President Biden signed a bill into law that will force Chinese-owned TikTok to be sold off or be banned in the U.S. It sits on the phones of 170 million Americans, half the population. It's seen as a serious national security threat and a propaganda machine.
Just after President Biden signed the bill that would ban or force a divestiture of TikTok, the company responding with a statement saying that this law amounts to a TikTok ban and that they will challenge it in a court. They also posted a video from CEO Shou Chu.
Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts.
We'll be watching for TikTok to take that legal action.
CNBC's Julia Boorstin. On today's watch list, it's busy. We get the latest on U.S. economic growth. GDP, gross domestic product, will be out. Earnings are coming from Caterpillar, Google parent, Alphabet, Microsoft, American Airlines, and Southwest Air, to name a few. We find out how many people applied for unemployment benefits last week. We get a read on the real estate market with pending home sales numbers. The FCC votes today on whether to restore net neutrality, and the NFL draft begins.
Seven rounds overall. Round one tonight from Detroit. It'll wrap up Saturday. CNBC's Jessica Ettinger. all is not well down on the farm when America in the Morning returns after these messages. America in the Morning continues. Several Republicans joined Democrats in the Arizona legislature in an effort to repeal the state's near-total abortion ban. Correspondent Haya Panjwani reports.
Arizona is one step closer to repealing its near-total abortion ban. The Arizona House advanced a repeal of the state's near-total abortion ban, and it now heads to the Senate. It's an 1864 law that made no exceptions for rape or incest and received criticism from Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, they did, and that'll be straightened out. And as you know, it's all about states' rights. That'll be straightened out. And I'm sure that the governor and everybody else are going to bring it back into reason, and that'll be...
That comes after the state Supreme Court ruled Arizona could enforce the long-dormant law that permits abortions only to save a pregnant patient's life. Three Republicans joined in with all 29 Democrats to repeal the law that predated Arizona's statehood. If the Senate approves as expected, Arizona would allow abortions up to 15 weeks. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Health and agriculture officials are ramping up testing and tracking of bird flu in dairy cows in an urgent effort to understand and stop the growing outbreak. Lisa Dwyer reports.
Experts say genetic details show that the virus may have been spreading in cows since late last year. Scientists first confirmed the virus in cows in March after weeks of reports from dairy farms that the animals were falling ill. Symptoms included lethargy, sharply reduced milk supply, and changes to the milk, which became thick and yellow. While officials say the risk to humans still remains low, flu viruses are notorious for adapting to spread among new species. So detection in dairy cows raises concerns it could spread to people. So far, there have only been two cases in the U.S., and neither were fatal. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
America in the Morning for Thursday, April 25th, 2024, is produced by Jeff McKay. Production assistants, Christian Matos. Our senior producer is Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One. This is America in the Morning from Westwood One. I'm John Trout. Coming up this half hour.
Mark Meadows and Rudy Giuliani, two of 18 people indicted for crimes related to the 2020 election in Arizona. I'm Jeff McKay.
Israel's prime minister chimes in on pro-Palestinian demonstrations on American college campuses. I'm Clayton Neville.
President Biden has signed a bill that includes a potential ban of TikTok. I'm Sue Aller.
Another arrest in the murder of two Kansas women and U.S. tech companies facing AI scrutiny abroad.
The Department of Transportation is cracking down on refunds for significantly delayed flights. Haya Panjwani, Washington.
Reggie Bush has been reinstated as the 2005 Heisman Trophy winner. I'm Geffen Kuhlbach.
Back after these messages. This is America in the Morning. AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton is at the National Weather Map, always on the look for severe weather, and we have some potential storms shaping up for today.
Severe thunderstorms are expected to break out from southwestern South Dakota into western Nebraska, all of Kansas, most of Oklahoma, and through much of north central Texas later this afternoon and into the nighttime hours, as a developing storm drags moisture-rich air from the Gulf of Mexico northward across the center of the nation. This warm, moist air will provide the fuel for explosive thunderstorm development later today, with large, dangerous hail and even a few tornadoes possible around cities from Abilene, Texas, to Kansas City, to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. The eastern United States faces a rather chilly start to the day today behind a cold front that put a quick end to what was a bit of a warm-up in spots on Wednesday, and the risk for frost extends from the Arrowhead of Minnesota through most of the Great Lakes region and across much of the Northeast as well, with a freeze expected in cities such as Madison, Wisconsin, and Detroit. The cold spring start should give way to a mainly sunny Thursday in a number of these locations, as the same strong high pressure providing the colder conditions keeps clouds largely at bay during the day. The southeast can expect mainly dry conditions as well today, with widespread 70s and 80s closer to the coast, and even some mid-80s for the central Florida peninsula. However, the west looks to turn more active starting today, with two separate storms taking shape. In the Intermountain West, an area of disturbed weather that brought showers to parts of the Sierra Nevada and California on Wednesday should produce some thundershowers from Montana into Nevada and parts of Utah. For the Pacific Northwest, a new arriving storm brings areas of steady rain along the coast from Washington into Northern California. That's the weather across America. I'm AccuWeather.com meteorologist LaTroy Thornton.
I'm John Trout. Remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and YouTube. Just search America in the Morning in your favorite listening app. 18 people, including Donald Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, and lawyer Rudy Giuliani, have been indicted for alleged conspiracy, fraud, and forgery related to the 2020 election in Arizona. As America in the Morning's Jeff McKay reports, the former president was not charged, but was listed within the indictment.
The indictment, which includes felony counts of conspiracy, fraud, and forgery, did not name Donald Trump as a defendant, but did include the former president as an unindicted co-conspirator. The 58-page indictment stated that, quote, defendants and unindicted co-conspirators schemed to prevent the lawful transfer of the presidency to keep unindicted co-conspirator 1 in office against the will of Arizona's voters, end quote, meaning Trump is unindicted co-conspirator 1. The names of seven of the defendants, including Meadows, Giuliani, and attorney Boris Epstein, who was an advisor to the Trump 2020 campaign, were redacted, but the document clearly states who they are. Politico reports that others in the indictment include attorneys John Eastman, Jenna Ellis, and Christina Bob. Ken Cheeseborough, an attorney who helped devise Trump's post-election strategy, is believed to be unindicted co-conspirator 4. Defendants whose names are visible in the version of the indictment released by the Arizona Attorney General's office include former Arizona GOP Chairwoman Kelly Ward, State Senators Jake Hoffman and Anthony Kern, and Arizona's RNC committeeman Tyler Bowyer. Arizona becomes the fourth state to bring charges against those described as fake electors. I'm Jeff McKay in Washington.
Pro-Palestinian protests are growing on American college campuses, and the world is reacting, with dozens of arrests made Wednesday night at USC and the University of Texas, Austin. Correspondent Clayton Neville reports there are now calls from members of Congress, including House Speaker Mike Johnson, demanding the Biden administration get tough and restore order at the colleges.
Chants of "You Don't Scare Us" directed at a heavy force of Texas State Troopers by pro-Palestinian demonstrators on the campus of the University of Texas at Austin. Multiple arrests after organizers held a protest after being told not to by the university. Tense confrontation between police and protesters in Texas and in Los Angeles on the USC campus. Protests expanding across the country after ramping up last week at Columbia University and other Ivy League schools. House Speaker Mike Johnson made a trip to Columbia yesterday.
I told Jewish students who wear the Star of David to leave the country. And shamefully, some professors and faculty have joined the mobs. Things have gotten so out of control that the schools canceled in-person classes, and now they've come up with this hybrid model.
Calls around the country are growing for the Biden administration to call in help. Johnson on board with that idea.
If this is not contained quickly, and if these threats and intimidation are not stopped, there is an appropriate time for the National Guard. We have to bring order to these campuses. We cannot allow this to happen around the country.
The speaker meant business and called out university leadership.
I am here today joining my colleagues and calling on President Shafiq to resign if she cannot immediately bring order to this chaos.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre wouldn't go that far.
We've been very consistent here about not commenting on personnel matters. That's something for Columbia University, obviously the board, to speak to, and the president, right, to make that decision.
Word of the campus protests spreading around the globe, and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke about them specifically.
Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. It's unconscionable. It has to be stopped. It has to be condemned, and condemned unequivocally. The response of several university presidents was shameful.
He said more has to be done.
It has to be done not only because they attack Israel. That's bad enough. And this tells us that there is an anti-Semitic surge here that has terrible consequences. Stop anti-Semitism now.
Colombia's pushed back the date for the encampment to be shut down, but some tents have already been taken down. Dozens still going up, though, at other schools like Brown University. Organizers calling for more than just a ceasefire in Gaza. They're demanding universities divest in ties with donors that do business with Israel and insist they publicly condemn Israel's retaliation to the deadly October 7th attacks on that country by Hamas. I'm Clayton Neville.
U.S. officials say Ukraine has, for the first time, used the long-range missiles the Biden administration delivered last month, striking areas deeper in Russian territory. Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports this comes as a bill for much-needed aid for Ukraine was signed by Biden, and at the same time, the United Kingdom has also upped the ante with more aid for Ukraine.
Kyiv had long pleaded for the long-range version of the missiles known as ATACMS, which nearly double the striking distance it had with the mid-range version the U.S. sent last year. The Biden administration had resisted, fearing Ukraine might escalate the fight by striking deep inside Russian territory. But after evaluating the risks, President Biden signed off.
The boss made this decision. The time is right to provide these based on where the fight is right now. I think it was very well-considered decision. We really wrung it out. But again, anytime you introduce a new system, anytime you introduce any change into a battlefield, you have to think through the escalatory nature of it.
Admiral Christopher Grady, the nation's number two military officer, says Ukraine can use long-range fires to strike Russian logistics nodes and troop concentrations well back from the front lines.
The ability of Russians to mass, the ability of Russians to bring troop concentrations together to do any kind of counteroffensive that they may or may not be planning. The ability to get after deeply placed logistics nodes.
One official says the U.S. is making clear the ATACMS cannot be used to strike inside Russia itself. Sagar Magani at the White House.
When we return on America in the Morning, feds now require airlines to refund in cash. That and more after these messages. Welcome back. You're with America in the Morning. I'm John Trout. The CEO of China-based TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, said the popular social media app won't be going away, even if it means tangling with Uncle Sam. Sue Aller reports.
Could this be the beginning of the end for TikTok? The popular social media platform could soon be forced to have new ownership or face a possible ban in the United States. On Wednesday, President Biden signed a foreign aid package that has a clause that could ban TikTok in the U.S. if the China-based company ByteDance doesn't part ways with its Chinese parent company within 180 days. Lawmakers have national security concerns that the Chinese government could have access to users' personal data. Shou Chu, the CEO of TikTok, says he will fight for the millions of users who use TikTok to express themselves.
Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail.
Shou says firewall protections are in place to protect users' data. According to the Wall Street Journal, the Chinese government says it intends to block any forced sale of TikTok by ByteDance. I'm Sue Aller.
Former President Trump says if TikTok is banned in the U.S., the blame belongs to President Biden, despite trying to ban the social media app when he was in the White House. Tech correspondent Chuck Palm explains.
In 2020, President Trump was blocked by the courts in his bid to ban TikTok, but has since reversed course and said that Biden was pushing for a ban and would be the one responsible if it were imposed. California Democrat LaPonza Butler urged the White House to consider the fate of 8,000 U.S. employees of TikTok, many of whom are in New York or California. The Biden re-election campaign continues to use TikTok, despite legislation in 2022 that U.S. employees are banned from installing it on government phones. I'm tech correspondent Chuck Palm.
Authorities in Oklahoma have arrested a fifth person in connection with the murders of two Kansas women. Police in Texas County, Oklahoma, say 31-year-old Paul Grice was taken into custody, charged with two counts of kidnapping and first-degree murder. Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly disappeared March 30th on their way from Kansas to pick up Butler's children from a birthday party in nearby Oklahoma. Their remains were found April 14th after having last been seen together in a vehicle that was later found abandoned by the highway in a rural part of the state. Four people, including one who's the grandmother of Butler's children, have already been arrested and charged in connection with those killings. Shifting gears, two American tech giants are now facing scrutiny in the UK over their artificial intelligence practices. Correspondent Charles de Ledesma files this report.
British competition regulators say they'll scrutinize recent artificial intelligence deals by Microsoft and Amazon over concerns that the moves could thwart competition in the AI industry. The authority adds it's looking into Microsoft's partnership with Francis Mistral AI and the company's hiring of key staff from another startup, Inflection AI. The watchdogs also separately announced it's investigating Amazon's $4 billion investment in San Francisco-based Anthropic. Big tech companies have been pouring money into generative AI startups amid growing public and business interest in the technology. But the investments have also drawn attention from antitrust authorities. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Following passenger outrage over compensation, the Department of Transportation is now requiring airlines to give automatic cash refunds for canceled and delayed flights. Correspondent Haya Panjwani reports.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg announced at a news conference that airlines will be required to provide cash refunds to people who have had their travel or bags significantly delayed or their flights canceled entirely.
Importantly, we are also changing the refund to clarify that it must be by cash. It must be in cash by default unless a passenger actively chooses another form of compensation, rather than the other way around.
Normally, airlines decide how long a delay must last before triggering refunds. The Biden administration is removing that wiggle room by defining a significant delay as lasting at least 3 hours for domestic flights and 6 hours for international ones. Buttigieg said the measure would go into effect in about 6 months. Haya Panjwani, Washington.
Robert Workman on America in the Morning is in with a check of sports.
An NBA playoff stunner. The Heat beat the Celtics 111-101 in Boston to tie their first-round best-of-seven series at 1-1. Miami with a franchise playoff record 23 trays, six of them from Tyler Hero.
Honestly, I thought we generated the same looks in the first game. Just guys, including myself, weren't taking them. And, you know, the talk amongst the team was to just be aggressive, take the open shots. You know, don't hesitate, let it go.
Elsewhere, the Thunder rolled over the Pelicans 124-92 to go up 2-0. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander at 33 points. New Orleans still without Zion Williamson because of a hamstring strain. NHL, Brad Marchand broke open a tie game with two third-period goals to boost the Bruins over the Maple Leafs 4-2. No surprise for Coach Jim Montgomery.
He's always risen to big moments. So you look at his career points in the playoffs, like, wow.
Boston leads 2-1. Upset alert, the Golden Knights dazzled the Stars 3-1, the defending Stanley Cup champions, winning both games at top seed Dallas to open that West Series. And Andrei Kopitar's overtime goal gave the Kings a 5-4 win over the Oilers. They're tied at a game apiece. Baseball, the Red Sox iced the Red Hot Guardians 8-0. Cooper Criswell and two relievers held Cleveland to four hits. Connor Wong homered twice on a 4-for-4 day. Dodgers pounded out 20 hits and waylaid the Nationals. Shohei Ohtani had three doubles and leads the majors with a 371 average. Twins doubled up the White Sox. Willie Castro lit a three-run candle on his 27th birthday. Chicago has dropped six in a row and is now 3-21. AL wins for the Rangers, Yankees, Orioles, Rays, and Royals. In the National League, the Cubs, Mets, Braves, Reds, Cardinals, Padres, and Brewers win. And the NFL draft begins tonight. The Bears own the first choice and are expected to take USC quarterback Caleb Williams, the 2022 Heisman Trophy winner. That's Thursday Sports.
Thank you, sir. Robert Workman with sports. When we return on America in the Morning, OJ movie in the works, and a missing trophy returned after all these years. Back after these messages. America in the Morning continues. Following his recent passing, an O.J. Simpson film that's been in the works for years could finally find its way to the silver screen. Kevin Carr has that story.
An O.J. Simpson film that has been in development for a decade is still alive and kicking. Described as a satirical thriller, The Juice speculates Simpson did not kill Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. A trailer featuring Simpson strapped to the electric chair was released on Wednesday.
Think of the real O.J.
Simpson was, in fact, acquitted of the murders in 1995, though a civil jury found him liable for the deaths 2 years later. Simpson died earlier this month of prostate cancer. Talking to The Hollywood Reporter, The Juice director Joshua Newton said that about 30 minutes of the film had been produced. It stars Boris Kodjo as O.J. Simpson and follows lawyer Douglas McCann, who engaged in multiple conspiracy theories during the trial. Newton told The Hollywood Reporter he wanted Owen Wilson to play McCann and even offered him $12 million.
Are you kidding?
Newton said the actor declined because he didn't want to participate in a project that suggests O.J. was innocent.
Stop, please.
Newton is no stranger to controversy. The trailer for his last movie, 2022's Beautiful Blue Eyes, was censored on social media, sparking a lawsuit which was dismissed late last year. I spoke with Newton during the promotion of that film, and he blamed these problems on companies stifling free speech.
The greatest danger actually to democracy is actually the control over free speech. It really is, because where does it go next?
I'm Kevin Carr.
The NFL draft begins later tonight. One of college football's most dominant performers ever is getting his Heisman Trophy back after 14 years. Correspondent Gethin Coolball tells us why.
Reggie Bush has been reinstated as the 2005 Heisman Trophy winner more than a decade after Southern California returned the award. Bush gave up the trophy in 2010 following an NCAA investigation that found he received what were impermissible benefits during his time with the Trojans. Heisman Trust President Michael Comerford said the trust considered the enormous changes in college athletics over the last several years that now make some forms of athlete compensation permissible. Bush amassed more than 2,000 yards from scrimmage and scored 18 touchdowns in 2005. He received the fifth most first-place votes in Heisman history. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
A large section of concrete on a Chicago street has been removed, and it has residents saying, "Rats." Ed Donahue explains.
A portion of sidewalk in Chicago's North Side neighborhood of Roscoe Village has bared an imprint of a rat. It was discovered by a bigger audience when a Chicago comedian shared a photo of it on social media. City officials say the concrete around the rat is damaged and had to be replaced. A lot of work was done across the street from Georgina Ulrich's home.
Oh my gosh. All this for a rat imprint.
Some neighbors complained about the visitors. Some left coins and other items across the sidewalk. The square is now in storage.
Bye-bye, rat hole. You're going off to your new home somewhere else.
It's not clear where it will end up, and some neighbors think the imprint was caused by a squirrel. I'm Ed Donahue.
That's our show for today. America in the Morning for Thursday, April 25th, 2024 is produced by Jeff McKay. Production assistants, Christian Matos. Our senior producer is Kevin Delaney. I'm John Trout. This is Westwood One.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.